Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Monday, 26th of October, 2020. And we have markets really in a holding pattern. If you look at the US futures anyway and how we closed on Friday, really almost a microscopic trading range relative to what we've become used to. Still sort of hanging around right on that key sort of downside pivot area, 11,500 to 11,600. You can see that on our slide one today. There was nothing really new in terms of stimulus developments over the weekend. It seemed like some of the noises were a bit more promising coming into the weekend, but then there's still this talk from both sides, whether it's the chief of staff Meadows on the Trump administration side or House Democrat Pelosi talking about shifting the goalposts. I think it was the quote on where things are. It feels like this is running out of the clock is really running out here. Supposedly Pelosi saying there's time to do a vote this week. But the Senate is distracted with the Supreme Court nomination confirmation and whether a vote could get through before the election is extremely in doubt there. So we're all holding our breath there and don't know if anything can happen. And then meanwhile, of course, we have COVID numbers going crazy. 50,000 in one day in France, Spain, new comprehensive curfews across the nation, Italy also announcing some new very restrictive measures, something like almost 90,000 cases in one day. Testing positive in the U.S., et cetera, et cetera. Looking forward to this week, of course, we still have that uncertainty of the election hanging over us, and we're going to be talking about that endlessly this week, and I'll be writing some pieces all week long about that. We'll have those out on analysis.saxo. But in the meantime, Peter, we've got some awfully big earnings coming up. This is really the big week, isn't it, for earnings?
This is the big week, and it's the week where we get a lot of trillion-dollar companies reporting. We have Microsoft tomorrow, 1.6 trillion market cap, 2 trillion. Apple on Thursday together with Amazon and Alphabet, also above 1 trillion. Then you have Facebook as well on Thursday with $800 billion. I think we probably have close to $20 trillion of market cap reporting, so somewhere close between a quarter and a third of the global equity market. So at the end of this week, we'll know exactly where we are on earnings or where we were on earnings in Q3. We'll also have some of the major energy integrated oil companies, ExxonMobil and Chevron, reporting on Friday. Maybe you will have as a point on that. We have Chinese banks reporting as well this week. So it's a major, major week. And as a show, I mean, we have the earnings calendar in on slide seven. We're jumping a little bit today, but that's fine. And you can see on the, I've put in this insert as well on S&P 500 earnings. And as you can see here, the realized earning is still trailing the consensus despite being up 21% quarter on quarter. But I'm pretty confident actually that by the end of the week, driven by technology and healthcare earnings, we will see the blue line above the consensus. And the earnings beat rate has been historically pretty high relative to history, both in the US and Europe. But talking about Europe and earnings, it is worth noting that despite European earnings has been quite strong, we're getting an ugly surprise to the downside here today, this morning, from SAP. It's also pulling the DAX futures down by almost 2.5%. SAP, the biggest technology company in Europe, is cutting its fiscal year revenue outlook, driven by weaker demand generally, but has really hit the cloud business. And I think the reason why it's hitting the cloud business is that SAP is coming from an on-premise software sales model. So when they're moving people to to the customers to the cloud, it's an active business decision, which I'm pretty sure is costly for some of their customers because you have to move data and it's you have to change integration with other softwares. And a lot of businesses in Europe are not in the position right now to make extra costs. They are just trying to get through this COVID-19 crisis. So SAP is saying that demand will be weak all the way through mid next year.
That's a really disappointing sort of outlook, given so much focus on a lot of these companies, Salesforce.com, all these other ones that are cloud-based that are just blowing out of the park, at least in terms of their share price.
But John, just quickly before I don't have much to say on equities, but now we had a disappointment on the cloud from Intel last week. We talked about that extensively. Go listen to the podcast if you want color on that. And we talked about SAP this morning. having a miss on cloud. It begs the question, will we actually see misses from Microsoft and Amazon and Google, because a lot of their profits are coming from the cloud business? Just a thought.
That'll be an interesting theme to watch this week for sure, and those massive companies reporting. Another market, and I'll segue this into your thoughts on gold, Ole. The treasury market, we've focused on those yields rising late last week. We've seen a couple days here, a couple sessions, and especially overnight, where we're seeing yields dropping back. And in fact, I would argue technically, if they drop back a little bit further, we should be talking about a reversal there. So that's is one of the key markets to watch, mostly in terms of whether yields are starting to really pull higher across the curve in the U.S. It's the long-term global price of money is at stake here. It's important stuff. But so that there's that development. And then Ola on gold, just a really disappointing action here. It's fizzling again. Is there anything, is it enough of a fizzle though to really generate headlines that we're trading just below that $1,900 this morning?
Not really, John, because we're just simply still stuck in with between these two, well, around 1900 and between two moving averages, the 100 day to the downside, which is down in the low 80s, 1883, I believe. But it's also, you mentioned the bond yields, and it just seems like the consensus trades that has been building up recently, potentially just receiving a small knockback here, because I think there were some polls out over the weekend just starting to raise doubts that we could see this blue wave next week, i.e. that the Democrats takes the Senate as well, which is one of the themes recently that has driven this this reflation trade and helps send bond yields higher and as a hedge against in potentially incoming inflation. So that is potentially a narrative that the market will be watching. But overall, we're seeing adjustments, position adjustments being made. Remember in 2016, the Trump surprise win knocked 15% out of gold within the following couple of months before it then spent a long time stabilized before eventually rallying again. So the market is nervous ahead of it, but it just looks like with the COVID-19 and the impact on global economy, then the underlying support has not gone away. But just for now, it's really running. It's run out of fresh input here. So intraday, the dollar stimulus news will potentially be some of the key focus point.
Yeah, and there's a little chart you put up there on slide 5 from it looks like Bank of America Research on the different scenarios. And we saw over the weekend, or at least last week, we saw the odds of the Democrats taking the Senate, at least according to that measure, dropping quite considerably. I think they were all the way down. It was a 55% where they're at their lowest ahead of the weekend. And then there was a Texas poll at the weekend suggesting that Biden might have a lead in that state. I believe that's one of the first ones showing a lead of that size. There's a lot of heavy turnout in Texas as well. I'll be getting to that in coming days. But in any case, that chart on slide 5 or that graphic showing that a Biden win plus the Republicans somehow retaining control of the Senate would be a deflationary scenario. And I'm assuming, I didn't read the piece here, but I'm assuming the logic would be, and I would agree with this logic, that because Congress has the power of the purse, it just means that Biden would be able to get absolutely nothing done on the stimulus front. And the Republicans might even try to spike the economy, a scorched earth policy to make Biden look bad ahead of the 2022 midterm elections. There's even been hints of that in some of the things that we've seen from McConnell, the head of the Republican head of the Senate. So I'm not sure I agree with that. I still am putting my chips on a clean sweep scenario based on strong voter turnout. And I suspect based on pollsters overfitting for the 2016 election, I think there's a lot of turnout efforts, especially among younger voters. But if I'm wrong on that front, then of course I could also be wrong, very wrong on the election outcome. And I could be wrong if a state like Texas, if there's fears that the Democrats are coming out in force, it could motivate the marginal Trump voter to get off his duff and go vote as well. I don't know, but it does look like the turnout is gonna be absolutely staggering in Texas in particular.
Which could also mean across the country delays before we actually get the results. So it could be
it's a complicated subject, Mr.
Yeah,
Hansen.
It could
a very
be
complicated
very
subject.
But it could be very messy next Wednesday, I'd imagine.
Yes, but we could also, I will talk about this. I'll tease it here because I want to have my full notes available when I put them down. There could be a scenario in which we actually know how this election is tilting very quickly on election night, totally against the media narrative. And I'll break that down for you. Just to tease it a little bit, though, looking back at 2016, Florida starts opening its ballots 2 weeks before the election, mail-in ballots as well. and starts tallying them. So boom, when polls close at 7 o'clock Eastern Seaboard time in the United States, add, I guess, this is GMT. So add five hours for GMT. They have instantaneously have a very sizable chunk of the results ready to go. 2 minutes after that poll closing time, they had 55% of the vote available in 2016. It could be even larger if there's been more participation ahead of time and if that tally has been happening ahead of time as well. Wow. So just to put that out there, and I'll talk more about that later this week. But also just to round out the commodity space, I mean, grains have been really stealing headlines. You're noticing a pretty big pickup in positioning, and maybe has you concerned about the ability of the market to find further fuel.
Yeah, I've put in on slide six the table from the weekly cut report, which will be out on analysis.saxo by the time this podcast is broadcast. We have seen now for weeks on end very, very aggressive buying across these key crop contracts, so much that last week I think that to combine the long that's the number circle in the red square, they reached more than 700,000. We haven't seen the bullish participation this big since 2012. The fundamental story is obviously one of support, but it highlights the aggressive buying nature of the buying. But obviously there is a strong fundamental story behind it. But obviously we have to be prepared if there are any changes to that. Then that the biggest change would be better weather, i.e. more rain in South America and Eastern Europe. It has to come fairly soon in order not to have an impact on especially something like corn and wheat. I think the one I would be slightly worried about, just as we begin, is copper. We saw a 14% jump in the copper net long last Tuesday to 91,000. I believe that is also a level we haven't seen for at least a couple of years. And with copper almost testing support this morning, and with the Chinese plenum coming up later this week, which is obviously a key event for industrial metals, we have to keep an eye on that one because the market is quite the long now is getting a bit crowded. And I think another one just need to keep an eye on is the oil market. We saw quite a build up again last week in the net long, both in WTI and Brent. And it's actually happened at a time where oil market is range bound. And right now we are trading lower this morning because global fuel demand is clearly in doubt once again with this pandemic continue to the case numbers rising as rapidly as they have been. And also Libya reports over the weekend that their production potentially could return to 1 million barrels within weeks. Remember, they produced less than 100,000 just a month ago or 2 months ago. And that clearly is a major challenge to OPEC Plus, what to do with the excess supplies that's coming from that front. So there are a few potential longs there which are on the radar, which need some attention if we see some additional moves in the market.
All right. Yeah, that is a pretty big bar to start the week when we haven't even gotten into the European session really yet here on Monday and the crude market futures. you can see on slide eight, our macro calendar for the week. Have a look there. I talked about the Chinese 14th plenum starting up. Very interesting to see the signals coming out of that in terms of their priorities. There's this idea of dual circulation, which is a focus on buttressing domestic consumption in addition to the traditional focus on trade and perhaps dropping some of the explicit GDP targets. Will be interesting to see that as well. You can see the numbers up today, and nothing I want to pull out that I think is going to be a major market mover, perhaps a little bit on the sentiment side. The German October IFO survey could be interesting to watch the expectations versus present situation as COVID is also impacting Germany quite heavily there. And we have the Bank of Canada up on Wednesday and ECB on Thursday. I'll preview those and further podcasts or later podcasts this week. I'm not expecting massive moves, even though we could see some developments, especially at the ECB meeting, and then the US PCE inflation. But really, we're just in this watching earnings, I think, will be a bit more interesting, and then waiting for the event of the year, which is next Tuesday's US election. That's quite obvious. For now, I think we'll call it a day, and we will be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call. Thanks for joining.